the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We are now in the month of Kiach. In the month of Kiach, the church takes the Gospel of St. Luke, the very first chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, and divides it into four, so that each of the 4 weeks, each of the 4 Sundays of Kiach, we read one quarter of the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. Because the first chapter of St. Luke is the lead-up, the events leading up to the birth of Christ. And so right before the Feast of the Nativity, the church puts in front of us all the major events leading up to the life of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so today is the first Sunday of Kiach. We take the first quarter of the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, which speaks of the Annunciation of St. John the Baptist. The second week of Kiach speaks about the Annunciation of Jesus. The third is the visit of St. Mary to Elizabeth. And the fourth week is the birth of John the Baptist. But today is the Annunciation of St. John the Baptist to Zacharias. Sometimes in our life, we feel a bit cold spiritually. Sometimes we come to a point where we can't feel God in our life. We feel our prayers are not being answered. Everything has become a bit stale. There's no revelation coming to me. There's no direction coming to me in my life. And this was the case for Israel, that for 300 years before Zacharias, there were no prophets that were sent. There was no revelation to the people from God. There was a period of darkness, of no messages, no revelations from God. And Zacharias breaks this drought of revelation. Finally, something happens again after 300 years. And what I'd like to do today is to look through this passage. This passage is a series of revelations. Revelations that come from God to Zacharias and to Elizabeth. And there are a number of these revelations throughout this gospel reading. And what I'd like is to pull out these revelations that are coming from God after 300 years and to see the circumstance that these revelations came and how we can learn from these circumstances that in our life we will replicate these revelations that are coming from God. The very first thing that causes this drought to break is Zacharias' prayers are finally answered. You know, his whole life, Zacharias really wanted a kid. And his wife, Elizabeth, was barren. And they had prayed and prayed that God would give them a child. And it never happened. Until they had finally lost hope in the whole thing, moved on with life, and said, let's forget about this whole kid thing and just get on with life. Until the time happened that Zacharias was a priest, and it was his turn to go into the temple to offer incense. And it says so it was, that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So the first circumstance where the prayer was answered was while he was in the temple, while he was offering incense, essentially while he was in church. While he was in church, the prayer was answered. And so the first thing we see about revelations from God is the importance of my relationship with God through the church. Not just my relationship with God in my own personal room, but through the church. The church itself has a power. The church itself is a channel of grace. The church itself is a channel of revelation that can come to me from God. You know, when Solomon built the very first temple, he had an opening ceremony for the temple. And in his opening ceremony for his temple, he said a beautiful speech to the people and to God. And he said to God, this temple, whoever comes to it and asks you, God, of anything, Lord, hear their prayer. If they have a problem and they come to this place and they ask you, hear their prayer. And if they come to this place and they're going through any difficulty in life and they come and ask you here in this place, hear it. And that was Solomon's petition to God, that anyone that would ask in this place, their prayer would be heard. And so for Zacharias, it was the case that when his prayer was in the temple, offering the incense, the angel came and said, "Zacharias, your prayer has been answered." And so it is important that we love the church and that we love to come to the church on any occasion. And the church has a code, by the way, doesn't need a key. You can always message a priest and say, "Hey, what's the code of the church?" and come and pray in the church. That prayers in this place will be answered. It is a holy place, a consecrated place, where the Lord answers his prayers. I was just in Egypt with the youth trip from our church, and we spent a beautiful 5 days in the monastery of St. Anthony. And you know that the routine of the monks is that they start tasbihah, midnight praises, at 3 a.m. I don't know why they choose 3 a.m. It's like smack bang in the middle of the night. But they choose 3 a.m. to start their tasbihah, followed by liturgy. And one night, we prayed the midnight mass with the youth in St. Anthony's Cave. St. Anthony's Cave is about a 1 hour walk up a mountain. And what we do is that we start our trek at 9 p.m. We reach the cave at 10 p.m. We do tasbihah till midnight. And then at midnight, we pray the mass. We get back about 3 a.m. when the monks are starting their tasbihah. So the next morning after we did this whole up tasbihah mass, come back down, I woke up the next morning and one of the monks said to me, "What's with your youth?" I said, "Why, what happened?" He goes, "They're unbelievable." I said, "Oh no, what have they done now?" He said, "You know, after you guys returned from your midnight mass, a few of them came to pray tasbihah again with the monks at 3 a.m. This desire to spend time in the church, to spend time in a holy place, is extremely important for our spiritual life, that we develop this love for spending time in the church. The second thing that happened with Zacharias says this, "And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple." It says that Zacharias lingered on. He didn't go in, do his duty, and leave. But he stayed back. He lingered on. And when it came out, the people said he must have seen a vision, that he lingered on so long. They worried about him. They couldn't go in to check on him. He lingered on. The second circumstance that took place for revelation is the time that is spent before God. The problem that we have sometimes is that, yes, we do good spiritual activities. Yes, we read the Bible, yes, we pray, yes, we come to church, but we rush it a bit too much sometimes. Like, we start, we want to finish. A few minutes pass, that's enough, let me go. But with Zacharias, he lingered on. He took his time. He spent time in the presence of God. He didn't want to leave. Herb Schnurde says that when you pray, say to God, "God, I'm not going to leave you until you bless me. I'm not going to leave you until you give me. I'm not going to leave you until you give me your peace." When we come to the Lord in prayer or in Bible reading or in any spiritual activity, let us take our time. Let us extend our time before God. And that's why the church gives us the Igbeya. Because the Igbeya is a series of prayers that helps us to extend our time before God. If we just use our own words, eventually we'll run out of things to say. But the church says, "No worries, here you go, here's an Igbeya. You can do another half an hour if you want." Extend our time before God so that the Lord would bless us. When we were in Egypt, we had on our program to go to Khin al-Khalili. Khin al-Khalili is like this tourist attraction in Egypt. It's like a marketplace, traditional Egyptian marketplace, where you can buy souvenirs and that. And one of the tour guides that was with us in Egypt told me, "You should reconsider going to Khin al-Khalili because it's late at night, it's very crowded, you'll lose the group, you won't be able to keep track of them, and it's not advisable that you go there." And so she really scared me. And I didn't want to spoil it for everybody else and tell them, "Oh, we're not going to Khin al-Khalili." So I didn't know what to do. So I said to the youth, "Hey guys, do you want to go to Khin al-Khalili or do you want to find like a random church in Egypt and just go?" And everyone said, I want to go to church. And problem solved. We ended up going to this random church and they had some choir on, and it's the most beautiful choir, and the youth loved it. They did their choir performance, and it was really nice. So we asked them to do some more. And so the guy running the choir said to us, which song do you want them to do again? And Daniel Marwood was next to me, and it's a particular girl who had sung a solo. And it was a really nice solo that she had sung. And so Daniel wanted that girl to sing the solo again. So the guy's asking us, which song do you want to happen now? Which song do you want us to repeat? And Daniel says to him, El Bent Ala Shemel, the girl on the left. And the guy looks at the girl and goes, what about her? He goes, Dayat El Bent Ala Shemel, the girl on your left. And he goes, what about her? He goes, and I is Dayat. I want that one. And the guy looks at Daniel and goes, she's married. But the desire to spend time in the church and to extend that time is important. The third thing that happened, circumstances with Zacharias, is the silence that befell him. But behold, you'll be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe in my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. After the revelation came that he'll have a child, he didn't believe, and so the angel told him, you will be mute until this child is born. For 9 months, you will not speak. Silence is extremely important for God to reveal things to us, for God to speak to us. The biggest problem we have in our life is that we're extremely busy. Everyone is super busy. I'm so busy, I'm so busy. I'm busy with work, I'm busy with the family, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. And even when we have moments of quiet, our mind is working. We pull out Facebook, we pull out something. There is never a spare moment in our life where we're just quiet and silent. For Zacharias, it was forced upon him that for 9 months he had to sit there and not speak. Sit there in silence, preparing him for the birth of this saint, Saint John the Baptist. It's important that if we want to feel God, if we want God to speak to us, that we must, every day of our life, have a period of silence. Silence of our mouth, silence of our mind, everything to be still, so that we can hear the still small voice of God. When we were in Egypt as well, we in the monastery of St. Anthony, the bishop of St. Anthony's monastery is Ambiostos. And we sat with Ambiostos, and he told us a secret that he's working on the next saint to be canonized in the church, which is Abuna Yostos l'Antoni. Abuna Yostos l'Antoni was a monk who was given the title the silent monk. He never spoke. His whole life he was just silent. And he'd only say a few words here and there. And that was the biggest feature that makes this man a saint, Abuna Yostos l'Antoni, the silent monk. And he told us a really nice story of a miracle that happened recently, that there was a lady in America who was diagnosed with cancer. And she has a close relative who is a novice in the monastery preparing to become a monk. So she called her relative, the novice in the monastery, in St. Anthony's monastery, and said to him, please pray for me and ask the monks and the bishop to pray for me because I've been diagnosed with cancer and it's not looking good. And so this novice spoke to Ambiostos, the bishop, and said to him, Sayedna, please pray for my relative in America. She's diagnosed with cancer. And so the bishop told the novice, he said, I want you to do this every day before the liturgy. I want you to light a candle at the body of Abuna Yostos l'Antoni. His body is there in the church. Light a candle in front of his body every single morning before the Mass in the name of your relative in America. And so he did so. Every morning he'd wake up, get his candle, light it up, place it in front of the body of Abuna Yostos, that he would pray for his cousin in America. Months passed, and this lady's issue got worse and worse. Her cancer spread, it became terminal, and she was in the final stages of her life. And then the doctor said, look, we'll do a last sort of resort. He'll operate on her and remove some parts of the cancer that were present. And so he took her into theatres. They had put her down to sleep. And then she saw a vision. As if the hospital roof opened, heaven was opened, and she saw Abuna Yostos Salantoni walking towards Christ, carrying a big tray of lit up candles and placing it at the feet of Christ. And then she woke up before the doctor had begun surgery. And she told him, "Stop, don't do anything. I think I'm cured." And he says, "Oh, look, you know, I think you need to, you're out of your mind, you're hallucinating, just relax, we're going to do this." She says, "Stop, and just please double check that I've got cancer." They re-scanned, retested, and there was no trace of cancer in her body. She called her relative in Egypt and said, "What's the story with these candles? I saw a vision and there was candles." And he said, "These were the candles that we have been lighting in front of Abuna Yostos' body every single day." And the prayer was answered. The prayer answered by a man that all his life he was silent. Even in heaven, all he did is walk and present candles before the Lord. And so silence is an important aspect of revelation from God. We can become saints just by increasing our times of silence before God. The last thing that happened in this gospel reading is Elizabeth herself, after she conceived John the Baptist in the womb, she hid herself away for 5 months. Why? Why did St. Elizabeth hide herself away for 5 months? She conceives, you'd think it's a time celebration, that she'd go and tell everybody, "I'm finally pregnant." But it says that she hid herself away for 5 months. We don't know why she did that. However, we do know this, that on the sixth month, who visited Elizabeth? St. Mary and Jesus. Jesus is in the womb of St. Mary. And we know that John the Baptist leaped for joy when St. Mary and Jesus walked in. As if those 5 months, again, were a time of seclusion, a time of preparation to meet Christ. That she spent time in seclusion, and the revelation that would come in the end was that she would meet Christ. And that's why our church, before any feast, before the Feast of the Nativity or the Feast of the Resurrection or the Feast of the Apostles, any feast, the church chucks in front of it fasting. Sometimes it's very long, but there's always fasting before a feast to prepare us for this meeting, to prepare us for the significance of this feast. And this is exactly what Elizabeth did. But before meeting Christ, she hid herself away in seclusion for 5 months. And in that time of seclusion, by the end of it, there was revelation, the meeting of our Lord Jesus Christ. I read something very nice recently of a Russian bishop named Metropolitan Anthony Bloom. He's a very renowned Russian Orthodox bishop and has written lovely books that I recommend you read. But this man in his youth, this bishop in his youth, was an atheist and didn't believe in God. Until one of his friends told him, "You should start reading the Bible. Just read the Gospels. Just read the Gospels. If you don't like it, leave it. But give it a chance. Just read the Gospels." And so this is what Metropolitan Anthony Bloom wrote of his experience with the Bible. And I'll read it to you. He says this: "I expected nothing good from my reading, so I counted the chapters of the four Gospels to be sure that I read the shortest, not to waste time unnecessarily. And thus it was the Gospel according to St. Mark which I began to read. I do not know how to tell you of what happened. I'll put it quite simply, and those of you who have gone through a similar experience will know what came to pass. While I was reading the beginning of St. Mark's Gospel, before I reached the third chapter, I became aware of a presence. I saw nothing, I heard nothing. It was no hallucination. It was a simple certainty that the Lord was standing there, and I was in the presence of Him whose life I had begun to read with such revulsion and such ill will. This was my basic meeting with the Lord. From then I knew that Christ did exist." Again, we see revelation that comes to a person just by taking that time out, just by opening the Bible and reading in seclusion. As you can see from this gospel reading, that there were circumstances when God revealed things to people. The first, his Zacharias' prayers were answered in the temple, in the church. Secondly, he saw a vision because he lingered back. He stayed just that bit longer. Thirdly, for 9 months he spent in silence before he would see the revelation of John the Baptist. And finally, Elizabeth stays back 5 months before meeting our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we want to experience the Lord, if we want to see the Lord, if we want to hear the Lord in our life, if we want to feel the Lord in our life, let us spend more time in the church. Let us spend more time in front of God. Let us linger back in prayer. Let us spend more time in silence. And let us spend more time in seclusion. And glory be to our God forever and ever. Amen.